I want to thank Judy here for talking to me tonight so that my students in my class can learn what it's like to be an elementary school librarian. This week they have an assignment to interview a working school librarian, but I find it interesting if I also do an interview because I know, Judy, I know you so well, and I know what a nice program you're running in your school.
Thank you.
First of all, you are in the Ferguson-Florissant School District. Many of my students are not located in the St. Louis area, so we need to share with them that this is a suburban school district on the northern side of the city of St. Louis. Would you tell us just a little bit about your school?
Okay, I am in probably the largest of the elementary. We have 16 elementary schools in our district. I'm in one called Walnut Grove. We have approximately 530 at least students. We're talking about 24 full classes, and which come to the library every week.
All right. Now, are you kindergarten through 5 or kindergarten through 6?
We're kindergarten through 6. We also have an autistic room, and we have preschool, but the preschoolers do not come to the library.
Okay. Now, I think I mentioned that you are release time, which means that you are providing planning time for the classroom teachers.
Correct.
But how long are your periods for your students?
Okay, as release librarian, we have 55 minutes, which includes a lesson and checkout. And that, so the students come in on the hour and leave 5 till.
All right. And you have also shared with me that you do collaborate with a lot of your teachers. Would you give us some examples of what you've been doing?
Well, it depends on what the teacher is doing. For instance, it just happened, I'm doing that now. In the third grade reading series is the story of Balto. So I have third graders tomorrow, and what we will be doing is to go with our Dewey Decimal System, we're going to be learning whether the story of Balto that they have read is fiction or nonfiction. Yeah. I will be reading another Iditarod story. I'll be telling them about the Iditarod, and I have a small video on the Iditarod. So they'll be getting a little knowledge of what they've read and what it is. And I do the same thing if a teacher is studying Egypt. I make sure there's stuff available. We may have another information packet or something or of that. So usually one teacher was doing Explorers, and I immediately got her a full set of videos that they can use through our professional library.
Okay. So, now, a professional library is a little bit different from some of my students who are located in smaller schools or smaller districts that may not have that. Would you like to share what you mean by that?
In our district, we have two of the most fantastic people known to man who run what we call our professional library. It has all kinds of information, magazines, et cetera, that we cannot, as an individual school, purchase. They purchase it, and we more or less check it out through them.
All right.
We also run when we do our ordering, we send it through them, and they do bulk ordering for us, which gives us a bigger discount. We have a cataloger who, when we get our books brought to us or sent back to us, they're already cataloged through our district. If you're working on a degree, if you're doing professional development or something mm-hmm. and need information, you can call over there, and our friend Pat Cadillac will be more than happy to get information for you to help you work on your degree. So it's one of the best things there is.
All right, and that is unusual, though, because if you're not in one of these large districts, the odds are you probably don't have
mm-hmm.
something
right.
like that. All right, you did mention ordering, so I think I'll jump ahead to that. Do they ask you to order from a particular job, or do you have some freedom?
We have freedom to pick from whomever we choose. In fact, we're having a vendor's fair in March within our district, which all the vendors can come. We can pick. We just send in to Sylvia what we want. Many librarians, such as myself, have our favorite that we pick because of the books or what have you, but we may purchase from anyone that we choose, and just send it to them. Now, if they find out that there's someone that can offer the exact same book at a cheaper discount,
mm-hmm.
they let us know.
All
and
right.
say, wouldn't you like to get it from here? I can get for five schools, and it'll knock $3 off the book.
Right.
But other than that, we do our own choosing, whomever we choose.
All right. Would you like to mention two or three of the jobbers you use?
Well, I have two favorites. One is Follett, and I use Follett because I can get my order. Most of my order comes filled, and there's not that many that are back ordered or out of print or out of stock. They pretty well fill my order completely.
Okay, and that's interesting because we talked about fill rate when I interviewed Laura from Follett.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, and
that makes a big
favorite?
Difference when you get them that half of them aren't there.
Right.
Bound to Stay Bound, I use them quite often. Now, I'll be quite honest, one of the important things with Bound to Stay Bound, their binding is 10 times better than anything you can buy anywhere else.
Exactly.
But if you're getting a brand new book from Bound to Stay Bound, it's going to be extremely expensive because they are just rebinding a hardbound.
Right.
But if you get them and you know it's already in paperback and you get it through them, you'll get a much better discount. So I usually use those two. And then there's this odd one called Periodical Publishers. It comes in like a newspaper magazine. But I get wonderful books from there, and their discount is incredible.
Okay. All right. And you did mention that they do the cataloging within your district, so you are not cataloging. What if you would receive a donated book? Say some mother picks up something or a teacher gets something and has duplicates, and they give it to you and want it to go in the library. Would your centralized cataloging then do the cataloging for you?
They would or I would. It
okay.
would depend. Now,
all
I'll
right.
be quite honest, I just finished cataloging 30 books on Monday.
Okay.
They were added copies, so it didn't take me that long because they needed to get them out ASAP.
All right. One other thing that I really have always enjoyed about you, Judy, is your way of collecting autographed books. And right, and exactly, and I can't tell you how many times I ran into you before I knew who you really were.
Oh, God.
Standing in line to get an autographed book. But I know there are some schools that put autographed books in glass cabinets and don't let children touch them. You and I share the philosophy that it's a special book, and that students take care of special books. Would you share how you got started doing this and how you've obtained all these autographed books?
Well, yes, I've discovered that at the school I was in before I started this, if I ran into an author, I found them fascinating. And before, we have a place, Library Limited, or had, where authors came and I would haul books down and get one for me too. And I discovered that the kids think that is wonderful. So I just started hauling them out. And I get a photo of the author, and then the books are autographed. I also go to Warrensburg, which is a children's literature festival, which they have 40-something authors, children's authors, every year. And they are very obliging. I know when San Susi was there, I walked in with 25 books with a sticker saying, would you autograph these to the students at Walnut Grove? And he obligingly did.
Oh, wow.
And the kids, they love them. In fact, we have a deal. Those are the really special ones. They take a good look at them, and then we have this huge album. I'm on album number 2 now, which has pictures of the author, so they can go see what the author looks like. And they really take good care of it. In all the years, in the 16 years I've been as a full librarian, I believe I've only had 2 or 3 of the autographed books. One kid stole it, but if he wanted it that much, when I talked to the author who I see, she said, if he really wanted it that much, no problem, I'll do another one for you.
Mm-hmm.
The kids just think that is the greatest thing, and they take much better care of an autographed book because for them it's special, and their neighbors are going, you've got an autographed book, you better take care of it. And they think it's special. They think it's important. They take good care of it. And I feel that, you know, I think that's much better for them to know that, yes, they're very precious, but you can handle them. It's okay.
I agree with you completely. That was always my philosophy, and we always made it special that you were the person who had the special book and you took extra care of it.
Yeah.
And I had exactly the same reaction. Okay, before we leave budgets, can you give me an idea of what a typical budget might be? And do you find they change over the years or have changed?
Oh, gosh, yes, yes. And it also depends on whether you have MSIP coming, where you may have been evaluated that your collection isn't correct or something of that nature. When I started at my first school, which had 230 students, my budget started out at $1,500 a year. That was it.
And that's hard to buy a whole lot.
You don't buy much of anything because you are, according to the state requirements, you have to buy your magazines, you have to buy your reading collections, Mark Twain and Showmates. You also have to buy things to help the teachers. You have to buy your supplies. And out of $1,500, you don't get much.
No. No.
But
and
I'm
also
lucky
told
now
my students to make sure they order supplies because you do need different variety of things to keep your library up.
Oh, heavens, yes. Oh, yes. And where I am now, well, we've worked it around a little bit different. I have a little bigger budget, but then I have a bigger amount of students,
right,
too. I still have to order my magazines. I still have to order videos. I have to order supplies. I have to order books. And my books have to be Mark Twain, and we do another, which we'll get into later,
right,
maybe Bookworm and Showmies. I also order things that are to enhance the curriculum,
right,
things that the teachers have requested, and that's a lot.
Right. It's hard to meet all those needs. All right. Let's talk about reading promotion, because you have always been involved with a lot of reading promotions, and you have several that will be new or unique to your school. But let's start with the ones that I would hope every school librarian, especially an elementary school librarian, is using here in the state of Missouri, which are Show Me and Mark Twain.
Right, right. And it depends on the size of the school, how you implement it. When I was at my other school, I had the little guys, because Show Me, by the way, is four grades, 1 through 3.
Right.
I do not use it as a third grader thing. I use it for first and second only. I'll explain why in a little bit.
All right.
But at one school, when it was a very small school, what I did was I had the little kids read the books themselves. I did not read them to them. If they couldn't read, it was kind of neat because I had sixth graders come down into the library.
Oh,
and
a reading buddy program.
Yeah, I'd have little guys one on each side, and then the kids would come and tell me about the book. And they got invited to a big party at the end of the year if they've read four of them, and they got to vote and all that. In the school that I'm in now, it's too big for that. There's just no way with the number of students I have. So now what I do is read the book or the Show Me's to my first and second graders. We do an activity with it, and it depends on the story, what kind of activity. I
right.
do some that are cut and paste. We just finished making out of tubes a kite. We did one with a duck that went with the story. We've done word searches and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of, you know, when it comes March, all students in first and second get to vote. They know what the winner is from the year before. When I go meet the author, I have the author autograph the book to the school. I come back and let the kids know which book won so that they're very excited to know that, oh, they help pick. They help vote. So to them, that is a big deal that they help pick.
Especially, I think, for first and second graders.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
you know, that's a big deal. You seem very little and insignificant at that age. But to feel that you have done something across the state, I think that means something to the
yeah,
little
and
guys.
Then I bring in a picture of the author. Mm-hmm. They see the actual book autographed, and it's like, wow, and I helped do that.
All right. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about Mark Twain.
Okay. We do the Mark Twain for 4 through 6. This year is a little bit different than I normally do it, but what I do with those is I show the Mark Twain video that comes out every year, and then I encourage the students, they get the bookmark, we encourage them to read it. They're, for them, they read it individually, and they come talk to me about it. Instead of doing, they're doing so much written, and we have a lot of lower-end students
right.
that want to try. So what they do is they come and do a verbal report to me,
right.
and I sit down, because there are many things in the Mark Twain, because it goes through eighth grade right now, they don't understand.
Right.
What is this? What is that kind of thing? You know.
Especially when they have historical fiction.
Oh, right, right. When we talk about, like, the new one on this year, East and West Berlin, what does that mean?
Right.
So forth. So we do it, and that's good, because they get a discussion. Then they get a bookmark and a smelly sticker for everyone they read. After four, they get, then they're invited to a party at the end of the year. They are permitted to vote. If they read all 20 in our district, they're honored by the school board.
Wow.
They all 20. In my school, if they read all 20, when I go to Warrensburg, I purchase an autograph book and have an author autograph it. And the authors are fantastic, because if I say, this is a Mark Twain winner who read all 20, they'll get half a page of autographs. It's just incredible.
Hi.
And it's personalized.
Right.
And then at the end of the year, we have a big party, and since I've been traveling recently, I come hauling something home from wherever I went.
Right.
Last year, they each child got a coin from Norway, Sweden, and Denmark.
Oh, you are so good to them.
And then the year before, I couldn't find anything. My sister sent teacher geodes, small geodes that they could chop open and see the geodes inside, and they got to take them home.
Oh, how nice.
So,
okay, now, before we run out of time, because I have some other things I want to cover, would you tell about your other programs that you are with? Because I know you have a program that was new to me until you shared it with me, the McKissick program.
Okay, that is something that's pretty new. It just started last year. Apparently, it's through a sorority that Patricia McKissick belongs to, and it's right now there's Ferguson, a few in Ferguson, Florissant, and the city schools, and one other school. They meet three times a year in a special big program. We just had a program where the kids dramatized Flossie and the Fox.
Oh, okay.
And the kids, only certain ones are invited to come, usually more of the readers, and they have special shirts they wear. It's sort of in honor, of course, Patricia McKissick,
right.
and she shows up at one of the meetings. This time at the meeting, she will be in our February meeting, but she has a brand new book out, and we were given for the school that book.
Oh, how nice. Does she autograph them for
she
you?
She autographs everything for us. And the last year when she was there, we had a bunch I missed that she hadn't autographed yet, and I send each student up to do it. One student each time gets to watch her autograph a book to the school.
Oh, nice. And she is charming. If any of my students ever get to hear her, she is charming, and
she's
very good with children. Okay, you have another reading promotion program.
Well, we had a problem with the Show-Me's with third grade, because they are easy books, and third grade is such a rough year because they have very easy. We have such a span of readers.
Right.
So we do what's called the Bookworm. I've taken the Kansas City 3 reading program, which is for third grade, and I added 5 to it so that there's 15, and it goes everything from chapter books to easy books. The kids still have to read 4, and it's a verbal report to me thing. Of course, for both Mark Twain and Bookworm, their names get out on a big chart that's down the wall, on the hall,
mm-hmm.
and their names are announced over the loudspeaker, and they also have a big party at the end of the year. But it's a good transition, because I notice when they start Mark Twain the following year, knowing that they're thicker and harder, they're more anxious to go and read them than if they had just been reading easy books and then suddenly are confronted with 200-page chapter books. It's easier for them.
Yeah, I agree with you. For those of my students who are used to working with upper-level students, when you have a little one who is moving into that chapter book, and wants a chapter book, it can be overwhelming.
Yes.
They really want to read them, but they look at the size of it, and they don't look at how few words are actually
right.
on
it. Right, that's it.
Page.
They go, oh, ooh. Yes.
All right. As I notice, our time, as usual, is zipping away, and there's some other things that I would really want to cover. Together, both feel professional development is crucial for a school
uh-huh.
librarian. Would you just tell my class why you feel it's so important?
Well, one thing, you're getting together. In some places, you're getting together with other librarians. You're learning other things. The more you learn from everybody else, the better, because you can implement some of it, you can pass on what you've learned. Everybody's school is different. They may do something different in one place, and they may have something that is working that you can use in yours to help you, and vice versa. It's fantastic. I mean, that's the best way to learn more about it, is to be around and to get more kinds of professional people to help you out.
Right, and I scheduled this interview for the night of the St. Louis Suburban, not knowing, because I scheduled this back in August, and I had not heard from Rebecca that they were going to have their fall event tonight, so we have both missed it, and usually we both attend
right.
various
oh, yes.
events. So this is important, and this is part you join after you've joined MASL, which I cannot stress enough,
oh,
especially
God,
for my
thing.
Grad students. Join it as a student because you even save money, and then
yes.
for an extra $10, and I think each chapter, depending on which part of the state you're in, is only $10. It's worth it because you get to know the people in your region.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Oh, it is. Well, and I've been part of MASL when I was, before I ever became a librarian. I was a library assistant.
Okay.
And I became, and I was a went to MASL.
Yeah, it's, I missed MASL once because of a conflict and money issues at my school, and I missed it so much, I vowed I would pay my own way if I had to.
Well, that's how I
do
it. That's the only way. I ask for help, and I say, I'll pay my own way, just to make sure I get there.
Right, exactly, because it is, and I have, people ask me, well, who pays for this? Well, I pay my dues myself.
Uh-huh.
I'm lucky where I am now that they will reimburse me for the room, but as you know, I'm sharing a room with part of our group, and they will pay for my registration. But I have been in situations where, get me a sub, it, just like you, I'll pay the rest.
Uh-huh.
One time I was lucky, somehow we got mileage, but that was really unusual.
Oh, that is
and
definitely
I don't
unusual.
Get that now. No, I mean, they don't do that, but
no.
That's unusual. But it, you, there's always somebody to go with. I know you happened to miss this fall. I went this fall. It's always worthwhile. You always learn something. And what is so great is you're always running into this, to people you know.
Correct.
And what I have found with librarians, and I'm sure you have too, is how much alike we all are.
Right.
You
right.
know, and well, that we all get along and we all have so much to share.
That's the thing. That's the key. I have learned so much, and I've gotten all these lessons, and I may talk to somebody, and they have told me, and I'm like, oh, that sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use that and see what happens. And I've used it, and it's like, wow, I would have never thought of that.
Exactly. Exactly. And each of us has our own strengths, and so we can pull from each other,
uh-huh.
too.
Oh, absolutely.
Something else I wanted you to mention that I had not heard about that you mentioned to me, that Webster University is now having a literature festival.
Yes, it has it every other year. It's going to be the 10th and 11th of November. I just got the information. The Saturday is the biggest one where there are authors there. There are three sessions of workshops. There's a breakfast and there's a lunch, and I've been once before, and I really enjoyed it.
Right. I'm like you. I used to be a groupie over at that bookstore whose name just completely, I forget, that was in Clayton.
Library Limited.
I used to be over there all the time. I have all these books that were autographed, a lot that I left in the various schools I was in, but some that I kept for myself.
Well, you know, Tommy DiPaolo is coming to Left Bank Books somewhere, I think, in December.
Ooh.
It should be in the paper.
Ooh.
Yes, I've met him twice.
I have also. I met him when he was at the Art Museum.
And he's very nice and very agreeable, so that's another one that's
and
coming
charming.
Local. And if your students all look in the literary section, Barnes & Noble and Borders are bringing every now and then children's authors.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, one other thing I'd like to mention. We're talking this week about atmosphere in a school library, how to have a welcoming atmosphere, and how to make children feel safe. Would you like to just comment on what you do? Because I know some of the things you do, but let's share them. They may not be obvious to other people.
Well, when they come in, the first thing is you make sure you're welcome. When they come into my library, the first thing I do is read to them. to look at my library. If you come in the middle of the summer, it's just a stark library. I collect stuffed animals by the tons, 35 boxes of stuffed animals. But I put them out and rotate them.
Right.
And they all go with a book. So, I mean, right now, and the kids will tell me other things.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that Max and Ruby is now a TV show.
Oh,
so,
I didn't either.
I didn't either. But and the Max and Ruby books are flying off the shelf, and I have Max and Ruby sitting next to their books. I have all the Arthur characters, and Arthur books go.
And
I
you have your little Russian dolls?
Uh-huh. Some are the purchased dolls, some I make myself. Like,
okay.
I have corduroy. I just got a stuffed teddy bear and made the corduroy things on it. My husband made me the best box. He looked at it and said, "That's horrible." I said, "Exactly what I want." And it's for Indian in the cupboard, which they love. They sit there and try to open it and peek in to see
mm-hmm.
if the Indian's still alive. I found a little red motorcycle and put a mouse on it with a long tail. Just anything like that. And then I change for holidays. I change, you know, I may have it there, and then I may move them all and get new ones for different, all
mm-hmm.
different reading age books. At Christmas, I have a Christmas tree on our counter, but it doesn't have anything Christmas on it. What it has is little mini books and book characters all over it.
I didn't know you did that. I used to do the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a nice 4-foot tree that I have, and it's bent double practically with all the ornaments and stuff, and the kids think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a lot of that all the time. And when
you know,
if we're doing
another
something
thing,
special.
I'm looking at our time here.
Yeah.
Another thing that I know you do is you try to read every book that comes into your library.
Yeah, I do. All fiction books I read because I want to know the content. I want to know what's in there so I can recommend it. If a certain child comes in with something, you know, and says, "I need a book about," and I know they're a very low reader, I can aim them for something that I've read. Then I say, "Well, how about trying this?" If it's an advanced kid, I have something that I can handle. That's the best way. The more you read, I do not read adult books, but maybe 3 a year. The rest are children's books at all times.
Right. I'm with you. I don't read my adult books till the summer.
Right.
Okay. One thing I would also like to mention, you are fortunate that you have an excellent aide.
Oh, my gosh.
You are very fortunate. And you have had him. I mean, you have not had a turnover, which is another issue sometimes you have with library aides. You have taught him how to do book repair. Would you just mention why that's a good skill for everyone to learn?
Books fall apart real quick. And if you can learn how to do book repair and do it right, you will keep a book much, much longer. Just slapping a piece of tape on it isn't going to do it, especially in elementary school because they're pretty rough on them. You need to learn how to split them, re-glue them, tape them very carefully. He does things that just amaze me. And our books last, even the paperbacks, much longer. We take them, he immediately, if he even sees them starting to fall apart, he takes them away from a student, they get something else, and he may spend 3 days repairing them and putting them back almost good as new so that they can go back out and be checked out 3 or 4 more times just to keep those books because many of them after a while become out of print and we want to just hang on to them as long as possible in the best shape. As possible.
Exactly. And just out of curiosity, I know I've always used the Norbon glue. Is that the glue that you use?
No, we don't. We do use whatever's handy, and it works. He has found, I don't know how he does it. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how he does it. He's been doing it with Elmer's.
Oh.
I don't know. Normally you use the other, but he's been doing it with Elmer's, and they last. I'm not sure how he's doing it. We have probably the best-looking library in the district.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it takes time and
you have to
be patient. And I know I have sent my current secretary, because she's new, for DEMCO training. There was a group here in St. Louis that had it, I can't remember if it was the network or the independent librarians. I sent her to learn because I never had the time to really sit with her and go through each of the steps because we were just too busy. And it's been well worth having her.
Well, Edgar's been the one that's been teaching all the new assistants because we've had a constant turnover, and he's still there. And as long as he stays, I'm happy because
Right, because that is excellent.
You know, he is the top in the district.
Well, one last thing before we sign off. Would you just give my students an idea of what your day is like when you're having 55-minute classes? What else are you required to do? And one other thing we didn't mention, that you're in a school that has a grant to have an extended day, but it didn't include you or the art teacher or the music teacher.
No, or P.E.
Or P.E.
No, I'm still there late because I always have work. When I come in the morning, the first thing I do is I walk in. When I get in the door, I turn on all the computers, get everything ready for checkout because there's always a teacher there almost immediately. Can I have? I need. I make sure I do my lesson plan so I have them all stacked on my desk for a week.
Okay.
I am also, this year, I'm doing hall duty first thing in the morning when the kids come in, but I'm also manning the library. So there's somebody else I said, you need to partially cover because that's when the kids come in. They want to bring in their overdue books. They want to check out. They want to give me a report. They want to Mark Twain. So between 8:30 and 10 till 9, it's a madhouse in there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I actually have time to run for the restroom and time to get back for my first class. If it is a fourth through sixth, I am reading a chapter book. So when they come in, they put their books, I read for about 15 minutes, we do the lesson, and then we check out. And they're supposed to be gone at 5 till. It doesn't work that way,
mm-hmm.
but that's the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
Then if it's on a Thursday, because our school is so big, we have a second librarian that comes in. So first thing I do with the older kids is I do the lesson, we do a quick checkout, and then we walk them back to the classroom for reading because the other teacher is bringing his class in for their checkout because
right.
he's got them in another room.
Right.
So we alternate. So we have 8 classes that day.
Right.
And then we have lunchroom duty. And the only thing with the extended day, I don't have after-school duty.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for chatting with me tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I've appreciated this. I mean, it's probably coming across very obviously to my students that we are friends.
Yes,
we
are.
Each other. Maybe we should share that we met in the program, I won't say how many years ago, but it was in Young Adult Lit was the first class
right,
we took
that's
together.
Right, that's
and
right.
then we met again in various other classes.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, yes.
We shared a common interest. I was in a similar school at the time,
mm-hmm.
and that's how we became friends.
Oh, yes, and it's lasted all this time.
Yeah, and I have a feeling it's going to last even longer.
I think so.
I want to thank you. Unless there's something else you would like to share.
That's pretty much it. I know the most important thing to be a librarian is be flexible.
Oh,
you never know what's going to happen. You may have it all planned out. It will be perfect, and there'll be a monkey wrench in it somewhere.
You know what? I just thought of something else we didn't talk about. When that computer system goes down.
Oh, gee, yes. When the computers crash, be prepared. Just sort of have an all thing in your mind, because mine just did with the worst sixth grade I've ever known to man, and the computer crashed as it was checkout time.
Right. Yeah, and unfortunately, anybody who's been in a library that's automated been there.
Oh, yeah. You just have to float with, you know, just go with the flow and say, oh, well, we'll try this next time.
Right. Yeah, so that they can do it. Well, once again, thank you very much.
Okay.
And I believe we are signing off, so I'm assuming that they are going to be cutting us off.
Okay.
But I will thank you in any case. We're signing off.
We're signing off. Okay,
thanks
then.
Again, Judy.
All right.
I appreciate
thanks.
It. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.